Exodus chapter 20 is one of the saddest and most informative scriptures that I know of that will explain to us what it is about us, that we have this thing with God of come close, no, go away, don't come too near, keep a certain distance. What is this thing in humankind that says that it wants to be near God and have a relationship, but when God comes near, it flees? It's an amazing thing, and we're going to overcome every bit of that. Exodus 20, verse 18, when the people heard the thunder and the loud blast of the ram's horn, and when they saw the flashes of lightning and the smoke billowing from the mountain, they stood at a distance. Everybody say, they stood at a distance. Trembling with fear. And they said to Moses, you speak to us, and we will listen, but don't let God speak directly to us, or we will die. Don't be afraid, Moses answered them, for God has come in this way to test you, and so that your fear of him will keep you from sinning. As the people stood in the distance, Moses approached the dark cloud where God was. And you know the progression. The presence of God ended up being upon the ark of his presence in the temple. Only the high priest could go in for the people once a year to make an atonement for the people. Do you find it interesting that we say you can't put God in a box, but they did? But that is literally what they did. During the time of Saul, the people disregarded the ark of God, but David yearned for the presence of God. David overcame whatever these fears are that the others had as they stood at the foot of the mountain at a distance and trembled with fear and said, don't let God speak directly to us or we will die. Let me tell you something about that statement. The flesh dies, and the spirit lives. And without being willing to hear directly from God, then what happens is that the flesh grows larger and becomes dominant, and the spirit dies. The fact of the matter is that if God speaks to us, we will live in the spirit, and our flesh will die so that the spirit can be free. So what they said was true and not true. Sometimes you need to embrace your fears and say, this is scary, let's go with it. It should be scary to deal with the God of the whole universe. He's to be feared in a right way, to be awed. So David yearned for his presence, and he set out to bring the Ark of God back to Jerusalem, where he built a tabernacle so men could worship God and enjoy his presence. And when Jesus was crucified, the veil of the temple was torn in two, symbolizing that because Jesus died, that man could now come directly to God through the blood of Jesus Christ without any mediator. Which is what we did this morning. Which is why the worship was so wonderful to our hearts. Then on the day of Pentecost, I'm taking you step by step, the restoration of the closeness with God that the Israelites voted no about. Thank God we are not stuck with what people voted for many years ago. Then on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came to dwell inside of us and open the way to perpetual fellowship between God and man. And now the Holy Spirit would be in the church because he was in us, and we are the church. And in the church, the Holy Spirit will be there now, distributing the gifts of the Spirit and working with man for God's glory. That is God's plan. That's how God restored what man rejected. Not only did he come on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, but he stayed on earth. The Holy Spirit makes his residence on earth. In the church. And Jesus sent him when he himself ascended back into heaven. The disciples had Jesus with them when they were on this earth. But Jesus said, look, it's going to be a lot better for you when I go away and I send the Holy Spirit. The word he uses is expedient. In other words, the Holy Spirit's going to grease the wheels of what I want to do to you, through you, in you, and for you. Why is having the Holy Spirit better than having Jesus himself present? In Acts 9:31, the scripture says, listen to this. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Listen, wouldn't it be nice to go to a church that's walking in the fear of the Lord? You're being built up regularly and you're continually being multiplied. How does that happen? By the Holy Spirit walking with you and being your comfort in every situation. They were built up continually, walked in the fear of the Lord and the Holy Spirit. Now, the word there for comfort, of course, is the word paraclete. And it means that he interceded, he implored, he encouraged, and he comforted them. Sometimes we need the Holy Spirit to implore us. Sometimes that's called conviction. Sometimes we need him to pray through us. You don't have prayers worth much unless you get in touch with the Holy Spirit and let him do the praying. And sometimes we really need to be encouraged, don't we? Some people need to be encouraged just to get to church. But we all need to be encouraged to continue in the way. Why do churches struggle and people burn out and lose their way and yield to infighting and man-pleasing? Why? Because they're not walking in the comfort and empowerment of the Holy Spirit. He would overcome all of that stuff. You know, Ephesians 4:11 and 12 says that when Jesus ascended into heaven, he gave gifts to men. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And that word for gifts there is the Greek word doma. And it means that the person is given. Not just a gift is given, but a man or a woman is given as an apostle or as an evangelist or as a prophet. The Lord gives those people to the church, and the purpose is for the equipping of the saints. In other words, God gives people full of the Holy Ghost, gifted with the Holy Ghost, to equip you. And you know something? If you don't have those people in the church, the equipping won't happen too well. That word doma, actually in other places it's translated roof. Or covering, dome. You know the word dome? And you see, the Lord gives these fivefold ministry as a covering to your life and to the church. This is why the devil hasn't destroyed the church. Because God's put a covering. That's why he hadn't destroyed you. God has a covering over your life. Some people don't know they need a covering. So they go out even to serve God and get themselves sliced and diced. You better not go out there without a covering. The truth has been restored. Partly, you know, what happened is through the Middle Ages and through the period of time that they lost the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Altogether, they lost the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. But at the turn of the century, about 1906, at Azusa Street, the Holy Spirit was outpoured, and it was so powerful that they were there. They took me when I was there in Los Angeles to the very place where that happened. From that place, people went all over the world because now they had received this and they were imparting it and sharing it with others. The baptism of the Holy Spirit with the gifts of the Spirit had been returned to the church. Isn't God merciful? And then about 50 years later, in 1948, through another huge worldwide revival, the Lord poured out His Spirit. That's when people like William Branham were called, and Oral Roberts, and even Billy Graham. And it was the same year, of course, that Israel became a nation. Watch Israel, watch the dates. That's when God's getting ready to move. When God does great things in Israel, then the church is going to first in the natural and then in the spirit. And we see great things happen. So when Israel became a nation, the Lord just turned the church loose. See, the church had been in a certain amount of bondage until this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But not only now did they have the baptism of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, the fivefold ministry was restored. And understanding about really the flowing and the ministry of the prophetic and moving in the gifts of the Spirit. This was restored beginning in 1948. But many churches didn't embrace this truth in America. In other countries, there was a great receptivity of this truth. And today, that's why in churches, like I heard a man preaching and he said, "You know, I thought I had a pretty big church. I have 20,000 people in my church. But I went to a conference of people who have large churches and are wanting to continue to grow and serve God. And I asked the man next to me from Nigeria, how many people are in your church? And he said, 200,000. Now, I want to say this, and this is not just for effect. It's really for impact. I want you to hear what I'm going to say. As soon as we start really listening to God and really doing it His way, according to His word, we can start having the wonderful things that are happening in the other countries. They don't have some of these long-term bondages that we're still getting free from in American churches. Now, where the fivefold ministry is embraced, the whole empowerment of the Holy Spirit is being experienced, and the saints are being developed into, Ephesians 4 says they will be, one mature man. So what's the problem? Why haven't we just opened up and received this and walked in it and gotten further down the road? Well, you know, a religious and denominational spirit has choked out the release and freedom of the Holy Spirit in the church. Now, listen to me. Denominations don't have to be wrong. They don't have to be devoid of the Spirit. They don't have to put a clamp on what God's doing. But they often do, because there is a religious spirit at work there that is controlling and is in charge, not the Holy Spirit. I think most people know this. When I was in a church in Trinidad just a few years ago, when I got to the church, and they didn't even have a building, they were worshiping in a school, they had already worshiped an hour before I got there, and they worshiped another hour after I got there. They were so, alive to God. And I had sent a box of my new book at that time was Prayer in Another Dimension. Before the service was over, before I finished preaching, they had opened the box with close to 100 books and already sold them all out and wanted to know, did I have any more? Hungry, 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 hungry. And when I was in Ghana, there was a church where 4,000 people stood and prayed for 3 hours nonstop. And they do it every Thursday morning, 3 hours nonstop. Praying, really crying out to God and praying. Well, that's their culture. Well, let's just get a prayer culture then. What do you want, a culture without prayer? No, it's not their culture. It's their obedience to the Holy Spirit, and they get breakthroughs, and their churches grow large, and they get miracles and healings, and this is what I'm going to see happening in the country I live in. But in many American churches, God has given 1 hour for everything to be done on Sunday morning. When I was in the denominational church, it was 40 minutes. See what they've done? They've put God back in the box. Why? Because the flesh wants it that way. We're too busy. We're too tired. We want to be entertained rather than worshiping. The words to one of the songs we were singing today, and I'm going to worship him, whatever it was, forevermore. And something else I'm going to do for 10,000 years, and I'm going to worship him forevermore. Really? That'll be different from the 20-minute one, won't it? It has never occurred with what hypocrisy we sing. It doesn't occur to people. People don't want to worship God forevermore that won't worship him 20 minutes. We need to get some practice. I'm not necessarily saying we need to worship a long, long time, but I'm saying let's let the Holy Spirit move. You know, in 1 Corinthians 12, there are listed gifts of the Spirit, and Paul says we should not be ignorant. This is how the chapter starts. Brethren, I would not have you ignorant about the gifts of the Spirit. How many people in churches do we know that are absolutely ignorant? I wouldn't have you ignorant. And so there he lists the gifts of the Spirit. He says that the gifts of the Spirit were given, listen, so that everyone can profit. So what are the churches that don't allow the gifts of the Spirit to flow and be manifest? I guess they're saying we don't want to profit. Come on, let's think in a different way. They are not given as an embellishment. The moving of the gifts is not a cherry on top of the banana split. People actually think they're optional. They're not optional. They're absolutely necessary. We're not going to have church without the Holy Spirit moving. You know, when this funeral that we had, our dear Mary's funeral, you know, an Asian lady was saved in the service. And the funeral home men were coming to me with tears in their eyes. And the man who played the piano was very touched. When you have the Holy Spirit, there's something you don't even know what it is that affects you. How long have we gone to church and have not been affected? We need to be affected. If we have the gifts of the Spirit, everybody can profit. I want to profit from being in church. Healing, for example, healing, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, which we need. I was thinking about this, talking to a pastor who was asking me about this new phenomenon that people like short church. Shorter the sermons, the better. Shorter the worship, the better. As long as it's animated and more like what they've seen on TV or in a rock concert or whatever it is they relate to. And this pastor was asking me about that. He said, they said that they believe in the gifts of the Spirit. I said, oh, really? And they say that they believe in healing. Really? Yeah. I said, I have a question. When are they ever going to get it? They don't have time to get healed. Then I kind of say, hi, Lord, but I don't have time to get healed. And glad you have prophecy, Lord, but it'd take too long to listen. Come on, we haven't gotten real. You haven't admitted that there's not enough hunger for God to where we really plan to have a meeting with him. I come to church to meet with God. I like encounters with Jesus. Obviously, if we don't allow for the manifestation of these gifts, we lose the profiting we would receive from them. The ascension gifts, of which we call the fivefold ministry, were given to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. According to Ephesians 4, the gifts of the Spirit were given so that we could all profit through the work of the Holy Spirit. So let me just sum that up. Without these, the people are not going to be equipped to do the work of the ministry, and we lose the healing, the prophecy, the words of wisdom, and all the things that the Holy Spirit would give us. And then we're left with a church that functions by programs, intellectual management, and pleasing the people rather than hearing from God. And I hear pastors say, well, we found that people like better, and we found that people are more comfortable with, and we, well, don't believe in trying to make people uncomfortable. But sometimes God does make us feel a little uncomfortable. And he's into the business of changing us and making us better. I don't want to be the same, do you? The only way that we can communicate with God is by learning and speaking God's language. I believe much of the church has given up on really communicating with God. There's just a matter of somebody there's going to talk about God, and we're going to say amen and hope we can get to heaven. His word says he wants to commune with us and he wants to communicate with us. He wants to talk to us and he wants us to worship him and to pray to him. I mean, it's really a two-way street. I shared with you recently, his language is based on visions and dreams, according to the scripture. And the gifts of the Spirit are the expression to his people of what God is doing and planning to do. This is how God expresses to us what he's doing and what he wants to do. Thank God for the gift of prophecy, whereby God speaks to us today about his plans and our part in his plans. Aren't you glad to be working with God? Jesus says that he's co-laborers with us in this great harvest. Now, I received a prophetic word at a conference that I went to, and I'm a part of a minister's fellowship that meets in Dallas. And Carrie Kirkwood, whom you might remember, he's a very respected and very accurate prophet. And he brought this word, and I'm going to read. What I did was, the word was more than a full page. But what I did was, taking away the embellishments and so forth, I just got, the distilled or the crystallized version. And I'm just giving you the main points here. But I want you to hear, so that way, listen to every word. God is raising up an army of people to carry on the legacy. Have we heard this word? Through a prophet recently. God is raising up an army of people to carry on the legacy, continuing what you have already done. The memories of the future, listen carefully, are going to outweigh the memories of the past. And the school of the prophets, where I say school of the prophets, just make that ministry school. This is just the way he says it. And the school of the prophets are going to rise up again out of that place. And God is going to cause you to raise them up. What the Lord has planted there historically in revival, he will do it again. But first of all, the breakthrough is coming. As David had men around him who heard him simply give the desire, I would love to have a drink from the well of Bethlehem. And there were those that broke through because of his word. Your words are more weighty than you think. And there are people who will be willing to break through for you. And when they break through, it's going to stay through. Now, when he prayed at the end of the prophetic word, his prayer was like this: Father, we declare over Shekinah. He said that place because he couldn't remember the name of their church, I don't think. We declare over that place and that region, the school of the prophets rising up out of obscurity. And the school of the prophets will be known there. There will be going and carried and nurtured and fed and grounded so strongly, foundational in the Lord, so that when they go out, they will have the word of the Lord grounded in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. We thank you, Lord. We give you all the glory. God. God has been so absolutely faithful to give me and to give this church prophetic words, especially in the last about 10 years. They have greatly multiplied. We have received this word about the rebuilding, the recycling, the restoring of School of Ministry. This is, I think, the third or fourth time. I want you to be thinking and praying about your part in it. All kinds of things will need to be done. And there's going to be some physical work done. And I call on you younger people that we need your help with getting the buildings in order and a continuing work in that area. And there's going to be a number of other things, all administrative things and secretarial things and phone work and work on media, internet, all of these kinds of things. And artists and musicians and prophetic people and teaching people and people that are anointed and called. Listen, you are sitting here. Do not believe that lie that just came in your ear, a few of you. I'm not anybody. No, not none of us is. Hunk of mud number one standing before you. Nobody's anything, but God put his glorious gift. We have this treasure in a styrofoam cup. We've got the gift of God in us. He put it here. He called us. He declared it. He brought it into being. And now, you know, vision is what gives us. What God gives us and what we give God is how we respond to that vision. And I'll tell you what, there's going to be plenty for all of us to do. You remember, I just want to share with you that Tracy Harris from Oklahoma or someplace gave me this word. The African prophets connected with Duncan Williams, they gave me this word. And Carrie was here once before. And at that word, at that time, he said, the school you had here, whatever it was, going to be recycled and just went on to something else. He doesn't even remember that. The fivefold ministry has been restored to the church, and we embrace it here. And we will develop it as the Spirit empowers and directs us. The church is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. I said to you in my weekend letter that I was going to be sharing with you this morning the truth upon which this church is established and the truth that's going to come out from this church and the key to why God called us. God did not call us to be one more church that gathers people and tries to get them saved and make disciples. Not just that, but to declare his truth that the enemy is trying to steal, that has already been restored. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, the fivefold ministry, and the functioning of it. I mean, lots of churches where people say they believe in it, but you never see in any of it functioning. You don't see it happening. But 1 Corinthians 3:10 says, according to the grace of God which is given to me, Paul said, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereon. The Greek word there for builder, that's translated master builder, is the Greek word architectoon. How many of you know what that is? It's an architect. Paul said, I have been called as an architect. I've been given a plan. Where did he get the plan? He got it from God. Oh, that we could build churches where we get the plan from God. Paul said he was the architect, and that is the apostles' work. I want to say it to you like this. I heard someone give a picture in this way. Maybe you can understand this. The one who has the plan of the church, as God gave the plan of this church to me, I mean, he showed me what it would be. And you know now, 40 years later, as I see what God has done, I'm just as amazed as you are. What about the fact that anybody would come and hear me? What about the fact that God would cause us to listen and hear his voice and make the changes? But you know what apostles are for? It's actually a secular word. And an apostle, the Romans would send a group of people out on a ship with a leader. The whole purpose was to enculturate other societies, other groups of people, to bring the culture of Rome. That's what the word apostle means. So that when God sets an apostle and he calls, gives a plan to an apostle to build, the point is not just to preach and get people to come to church and do the best you can. It's to enculturate the people to the kingdom of God. And that's what makes it exciting. That's why the church is in technicolor, because we're building for his glory after the plan that he gave us. It's almost more wonderful than I can understand. And so the way that it works is, the scripture says that the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. The foundation. That's the foundation. And then the other giftings bring up the structure. But nothing can be built until a foundation is laid. And so many people try to build without a foundation and it crumbles. How many churches do we see go out of business? They fail and they fall, or worse even still to me, they just backslide. They just let the world swallow them up and get into that culture to try to make it happen. But the Lord doesn't want us to be sucked up into the culture. He wants us to form another culture so that the whole world can see how wonderful it is to be in a place where people are regularly healed and ministered to and love each other and give to the world. He wants the kingdom culture. And I heard one man describe it like this. The apostle is the architect, and the other ministries, the fivefold ministry, first of all, the apostles, the first part. Why does he say first apostles? Not that they're more wonderful than anybody else, but you have to start with one. You know, because the prophet can prophesy a church, but he is not gifted to have the vision of it so that the foundation can be laid. So first prophets, and secondarily prophets. Let me tell you why you need prophets in a church. They keep the edge. They keep the life in it. They keep the sound of heaven going in it. They help us to come up to another level when we pray. Thank God for the prophetic in the church. So if the apostle, if the architect has the plan, then he has others that are subcontractors. They build according to the vision of the blueprint that the architect has. And I heard one man describe it this way. So, you know, you don't want your subcontractors to say, you know, my work is good work, and I'm going to put the plumbing on the outside where people can see what good work it is. Or, I'm a really good electrician, and I don't want to put all these wires behind that board. What's that board called? Sheetrock. I'm not going to put the wires back there. I string them out here where everybody can see them. It is not about how glorious each one of us is. It is about, did we put the thing where it needed to be done so that the structure could be built and bring God glory? So the subcontractors are those who gather to the vision of the apostle, come into submission, and receive the commission of the part God wants them to have. How many of you want a commission? I don't know. I think all I can do is come to church on Sunday. Well, that's not a commission. You're always welcome. But the Lord wants to give you a commission. He wants you to be a part of what he's building in this house. And he went on to say, one plants and another one waters. But we're all building together according to the vision for God's purpose. You know, denominationalism is an elder brother. It's that one in the house of God that doesn't realize, son, you already have everything. You've always been with me. Being with God's not enough for him. And having all that God wants to give him is not enough for him. He's jealous because it's more important to him that everything be legally correct. And he's jealous that that prodigal that he thinks doesn't deserve. Is there anybody here that doesn't deserve to have the gift you've got in your life? You old prodigal, I'm so proud of you today. But you see, elder brothers don't understand this, so they're out after titles. They're into holding people back. They don't want anybody to get any better than they are. But in God's plan, we're always working to develop people beyond ourselves. Oh, I really am full of this. It makes me want to laugh. It makes me want to cry. But you see, it's a new day, and the old wineskin has to be folded away to make room for the new one. 1 Corinthians 4:15 says, and believe it or not, I'm almost finished. Though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Now, when I began to understand what this really means, I mean, the Lord just called me. I was just minding my own Methodist business. And I agree with the man who's from South Africa who just looked at me and said, but why would God call you? I said, sir, I'm just as amazed at that as you are. But you know what's beautiful? Because he called me, I know he's going to do what he called me for. See, I know it's from God, and that's my greatest comfort. Man cannot tear down what God has raised up. And so the scripture says that he calls those to lay foundations, and fathers or mothers, that's synonymous. It's very obvious in this church that we believe both men and women are anointed to do all of the ministries that he calls them to do, because it really is very clear through the word and through experience. And when it dawned on me that the Lord calls me as a leader and many others to be a mother or a father to beget children, sons, not to have church members. Now, some church members don't want to be sons. That is to say, they'd just rather come and see mama sometimes when they want to. But it's okay. If only the Holy Ghost can give you hunger. But I want you to know that God called me to beget sons and daughters. And Paul says, I have begotten you through the gospel. Anybody here that is really a son or a daughter, you know what it is about you? It's too late. They can't take you away. You've already been messed with. You have been severely tampered with. You've developed appetites and desires in God, and you've been in the presence, and you want to be there again and again as often as you can. And you don't care which way they want to go. It'll just never be enough for you. Because you've been begotten as a son or a daughter through the gospel. And it has the power to save you to the uttermost. When I was in Trinidad, I received a prophetic word. From henceforth, you have had many members and you've ministered to many people. But henceforth, I am bringing to you those that will be sons and daughters. And they will know that you are their mother. And you will flow together in my purpose out of love and unity and the spirit of joining together. It's good to have sons and daughters. It's good to have a family. You know something? My mother went to be with Jesus so many years ago, wasn't it, in 98? That's a lot of years ago. But I'm telling you, her memory is just as real to me and just as sweet and tender and wonderful to me today as it was the day that she went to be with Jesus. What am I saying? I'm saying there's an essence, there's a something there that is not just a thing of, I'm going to try to work with you, see if we can get something done for Jesus. There's a love, there's a commitment, there's an endearment, there's a trust. I don't know about you, but when you have it, it's really wonderful. It's just wonderful to have that work of the Spirit done where you have that relationship. You know, in Deuteronomy 5, the Lord told Moses to rehearse to the sons all that God had taught them and all that he had done for them. And we've got to get the sons and daughters to tolerate listening to what God did to bring us to the place where he did the deep work in us so that they can have that same work by appreciating that same tremendous. I'm not at all talking about living in the past. I'm talking about honoring what God has done to bring us to the present, because the prophecy said that what's going to be happening in the future is going to make better memories than what we had in the past. And I say amen to that with all my heart. If the fathers quit telling it to the sons don't know it anymore. And that's how God's vision is lost through the generations. We're not going to lose the vision of this house. And listen to this very carefully. The sons must understand that there is no other way to get the father's DNA but to receive the truth, the spirit, and the vision of the father. Receive the truth, the spirit, and the vision of the Father. You can't get this thing at a distance. And this is a part of getting that direct communication from God. It's when you get it through the fivefold ministry and you get it through the gifts of the Spirit, then it's the same Holy Ghost that has spoken down through the years is going to speak in this hour. And it is extremely important that we move into this realm of the Spirit if we be powerful and do what God has called us to do. And how will that happen? Last scripture, Malachi 4, 5, and 6 says, he shall turn the heart of the father to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. If this doesn't happen, what I'm talking to you about today, if we don't get the hearts of the fathers and the children spiritually turned to each other, then there's going to come a curse. There's going to come drought. There's going to come famine. There's not going to be any spiritual food. We're going to shrivel up for lack of hearing from heaven. And I'm glad we're a part of the move of the Spirit that God has brought about in this hour. And a very important part of that move is the developing of God's way of speaking in his church and through his church and ministering in the midst of his church. You know that, as I was talking about the subcontractor, pardon me, the architect who subcontracts, and he gives this job to someone to do and that job to someone to do. And that's really how this works. Not in denominationalism, but in the biblical way of doing it. As the architect, see, I subcontracted the youth and children's ministry to Andre and Carrie. And I expect them, of course, to get them full of the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues and teach the Bible hard and tough. And make disciples of them. That's the plan God gave me. And I just gave that plan to them and I subcontracted it. And I subcontracted to Jane to oversee the worship and 42 other things. It's a long list. And the prayer ministry and the counseling ministry here in the church, like including the so-so ministry, all these wonderful things that are going to get us free from our garbage so we can go on with God and help turn us into disciples. And I subcontracted to Judy, the care ministry of the church, so that she can bring all these things together, how people really need to be cared for and have their needs met, because the scripture says that when one glories, we glory with that one. And, you know, and when one is hurting, that we're all hurting together. All of that brings together the joining of the church and the groups, when the groups are meeting, all these kind of things under her subcontract. Now, the contractor, the architect, he doesn't then go and say, you know, I think I'm going to lay the brick today. I feel like doing it myself, my way. I think my way might be better than yours anyhow. And he doesn't get up one morning and say, you know, I'm going to do the wiring today. I believe that could have been done a little bit better the other. In other words, you don't snatch away that which you've given a subcontract, but you do have a blueprint. And you just bring those subcontractors back to the blueprint and say, wait a minute, I want to show you this about this and this about that. Isn't that beautiful? That's God's way to do it. And so a church where the leader of the church is the big eye and other people can't do anything and they can't do anything like the leader can, that's not God's way. God's way is to have the leader lead and to have the people do the things that have been given by God for them to do. And I find that very exciting. If we, you know, one plants, another waters, according to Paul, but it's God that gives the increase. It doesn't matter how well you can do things. If God doesn't give the increase isn't going to be there. But we're going to have increase on the right hand and on the left. We're going to have it in the spirit. We're going to have it numerically. God is going to increase this house in ministries, the things that he has called us to do. He's going to do it. And all we have to do is cooperate. Isn't that fun? We just have to cooperate, and that's it. Now, I just want us to pray for, Judy and Jane and I see Carrie. That's good. And Carrie, how'd you get off today? This is great. Don't feel good, I bet. Anyway, I want them to come forward, and I want us to pray for them because they've taken this heavy load in the subcontracting. And also, we have representation in the fivefold ministry in this church. And you know, the more that you have that is under that level of anointing, the better off you are. And we're sorry about Andre, but you know how it is with kids. Oh, that'll just be so great. It's all right, because I wanted to say something a minute anyhow. That when you have the fivefold ministry, the more of those five folds that God gives a church, the stronger you can be to equip the church. And whatever you sense that is somewhat lacking in the fivefold, then you bring people like that in to minister among you. But we have so much that God has given us in this church already in our toward the fivefold ministry gifting, and we need to honor that and to release that and to allow that to happen. And I want those who lead in every area to be free to lead and to know that we appreciate their leadership. Mike, I want you to come up here and stand too, because of the heavy responsibility that you have in worship in the house. Because, and we don't have, the Watts are not here today. Because they oversee praying, going out and praying for people that are sick and so forth. They have a very heavy responsibility, and we appreciate very much. And the point that I want us to make this morning, I want us to realize that we've moved into a day where we do things according to the Word of God, and because of that, we let everybody be released in the ministry that they have. And the more you receive from these and others that will be leading you in various areas of ministry, the more we can grow and accomplish what God has asked us to do. Just work with people. They may not do everything the way that you want it done. Maybe you think you could do it better. Maybe you could. Maybe next time you ought to do it. Apply for it and say, you know, I'd be interested in working in that area. There wouldn't be anything wrong with that. But I just want to say to you this morning that this understanding what I've taught to you today is what will empower us to be a truly spiritual church that will flow in. If we let the prophetic flow, and by the way, there are people in this house that are anointed prophetically and that are seers in the house and that are so good at both in prayer meetings and in worship services and in life to give words that help and keep us on course. And this is all very important. Mike, I'm going to pray for you first because then I want you to go play for us. So the guy is busy. The man is busy. Lord, we thank you. Anna, will you come and stand with him? Lord, we thank you for this man that you've given this house. And Anna, we praise you, Lord, for giving us leaders of our worship that have a heart for you. Thank you that they worship you in spirit and in truth, and they lead us to do likewise. And we declare in this house today as a whole house that we acknowledge their leadership in this church. And we thank you and praise you for them. And we pray that you will bless and increase the anointing on their lives. Give them liberty. Give them freedom. Lord, let them be established in the thing to which you call. Increase their vision, Lord. And let them see what you see for this house. Let them see everything that you see. And I pray against any kind of discouragement in Jesus' name. And I declare that they are encouraged by the Holy Ghost, the great encourager. I declare they are lifted up today in Jesus' name. And that the days of discouragement are over. Ah, Jesus is Lord, and it's a brand new day, Mike and Anna. And the Lord's calling you into this new day to help us lead this congregation. Amen. Okay, guys, all of you, let's just come on up here. Thank you, Andre, for moving heaven and earth to get here. Well, I really wanted to pray for you, all of you, today, because the Lord spoke to me that if as a church we will take a day and affirm those that he has set to lead us. I want you to respect every one of these that God has called. And you don't always have to agree with every little single thing they do or like every little thing. It's nothing to do with that. It has to do with following their leadership. That's all. It's wonderful, isn't it? This is God's way. This is the biblical way. Lord, I bless you for... Jane, I want you to feel free to minister. And our prophetic people, it's okay. If you want to come and stand with us and pray, you can do that. And we're going to release our faith today, and the Holy Spirit's going to move because he likes what we're doing. The Holy Spirit wants there to be an establishing of these people and these gifts and these ministries. I was saying as I was in a worship service recently, I'm so glad in our church that we take the time to worship. And we have an expectation of the prophetic word. And we know that the Holy Ghost wants to speak words of knowledge like Andre spoke this morning. And we have the hope that we can come into this house and receive healing. Mm-hmm. and see miracles. And you know what else? We don't even know what else. Beyond what we have ever even asked or think. That's what he says he will give. I think he's just looking for a people to be absolutely open to him. That's what he's wanting. And so we're looking to him today. Lord, we thank you this morning for Andre and for Carrie. We thank you, Lord, that they responded and answered the call to this house. We thank you that you have already put within in them the gifts that you want them to function in and to flow in. And we say as a congregation, we receive that ministry. Can we say, congregation, we receive that ministry. We thank you. Lord, you know exactly and precisely what you're going to have them do now and in the years to come. And we declare in Jesus' name, it's released for his glory. We thank you for their teaching and preaching gifts. We thank you for their prophetic gifts. We thank you for their healing gifts. We thank you for their parenting gifts. We thank you, Lord, for their desire to serve you and love you and worship you in spirit and in truth. And we affirm these ministries. Can you say that? We affirm these ministries. Andre, the days of holding back are over and they're ended. For there's a deep well, and we are ready for it to be uncovered. We say we receive what God brings us through you. Have I not dealt with your heart, my son? And have I not dealt with you again? And you are now ready. You are now ready to take those steps and to put on a new coat. And to be fully received as a pastor in this house. Take that step and bring him glory. And I will give you everything you need, man of God. I told you it makes me want to laugh and it makes me want to cry. It's so wonderful. It's so wonderful. Carrie, could you come just a little closer to me? It has seemed to you that it's taken a long time. And yet I've been working and I've been moving in your heart and in your mind and in your spirit. And I still have things to do, but you are my person. And I chose you. You didn't choose yourself. And I will establish you. And you will indeed have your ministry in your own right, as well as with your husband. And you will find full release in this house. As long as you hear and receive and are sensitive to understand the way my spirit will adjust you. You will be increased. You both will be increased. You'll sense a fresh anointing. I remember when my pastor, Jason Cornwall, prayed for me. And he prayed for me to receive his mantle. It was the weirdest thing. I thought with a British accent for a while after that. I'm not kidding you. You know, he spoke with a British accent. I'm not very British, you might notice. And I believe that there comes an impartation in times like this. And Andre and Carrie, I impart to you. I impart to you pastoring and governing gifts to do the ministry that I've called you to. Let it grow. Let it increase. And thereby bring me glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Judy, my faithful servant. Faithful I have called you, and faithful you have been. You have not allowed your pain to take you aside, nor to cause you to be swallowed in discouragement. Even so, I have much for your hands to do in the years that are ahead, and I especially want you to do it with joy, knowing that you have been touched afresh and anew in this very moment with a fresh new anointing to be released into every song and every prophecy and every word of counsel and every act of love that I've called you to. Be released today to be all that He's called you to be. We receive you as a congregation and your leadership, and we thank God and praise Him for your ministry. We declare increase of that, of the sensitivity, of the empowerment, and that God will go before you and that He will lighten your path and that He will show you step by step how to go from this day with joy into everything that He's called you to do. When Judy sang at the funeral, I sent her an email. I couldn't think of anything else to say except, I am so proud of you. And I couldn't think of anything else to say, so I turned around in joy and I said, don't you think Judy's beautiful? You know, folks, we need to brag on each other all the time. My mother used to encourage me that way till it was ridiculous. If I told you some of the things she said to me, you would crack up. And she had me believing I could just do anything in the world. That's what I want, you guys. I want to be a mama that has you believing you can just do this thing, because I believe you can. Oh, you know, one way I know that, God gave you to work here with me. And I know He called me, and He said, I will always give you what you need to work with. So you'll do it, because He's already spoken it. Lord, we thank you for the prophetess in this house. Lord, what price could ever be paid for a prophetic gift where the word of God comes from heaven to this earth? And we pray an increase in that gift. We thank you and we love you, Lord, for the teaching gift that is in this vessel. Thank you for the word set on fire. And Lord, we declare to you that we're not going to try to make Jane into anything different from what you called her to be. Because every person on this team is different in their own way, and that's the way you like things. I declare today in Jesus' name, Lord, that she's your vessel. And we declare, I want you to extend your hand to Jane, because we're going to declare healing, complete healing. Since Jane's had this little bout she's dealing with, every morning I'm talking, every morning in my prayer time, I bless Jane to be completely restored and whole. I bless that vitamin D to be totally assimilated in her body, and vitamin D and anything else. And I declare that everything that operates in this system to cause strength is released now. I thank you, Lord, that you did heal her lungs of asthma, and I give you all the glory.